Chapter 4. Oxford. A few years ago, I had a girlfriend called Lisa who was studying at Oxford University. I say had because she isn't my girlfriend anymore. I won't explain the reasons for the end of our romance here. After all, this is a book about Britain and not about ex-girlfriends. One of the positive things that came from my relationship with Lisa was the opportunity to visit Oxford. I had wanted to go to Oxford for a long time because it's one of the most historically interesting towns in Britain. Oxford University is one of the oldest and most prestigious universities in the world. 25 British prime ministers have been educated there, as well as many other famous people like the poet and writer Oscar Wilde and Bill Clinton, the former president of the United States. The university is also known for preserving traditions that are centuries old. Unfortunately, I was immediately disappointed when I arrived in Oxford. I got off my bus and found myself in the middle of the town's shopping district. There were modern shops, Burger Kings and Pizza Huts everywhere. When Lisa arrived to meet me, she saw my disappointment. "What's wrong?" she asked. "This isn't what I expected," I replied. "I expected a town that's full of history, not pizzerias." Lisa laughed. "There is a lot of history here," she said. "You just have to look for it." The next day, Lisa had classes all day, so I went for a walk to find the real Oxford. It didn't take long. I soon found all the different colleges that form Oxford University. I walked past buildings that were centuries old, all with beautiful gardens. I walked through the gardens in Magdalen College, down to the river. Magdalen has a very beautiful bell tower next to a medieval bridge. By 1 p.m, I was hungry and decided to have some fish and chips, a typically British meal. I walked back towards the town centre to find a traditional pub that served fish and chips, but it wasn't easy. The centre of the town was full of restaurants and cafeterias that offered everything except what I was looking for. I continued walking until I reached a working-class neighbourhood that had a few traditional-looking pubs. I stopped outside one of them and looked at the menu. They had fish and chips. Success! I was completely unprepared for the reception that I received when I walked into the pub. Everyone stopped talking and looked at me in silence. The barman took my order and walked away. He didn't even say hello. I was confused by everyone's cold attitude. Normally, British people are friendly in pubs. I tried to begin a conversation when the barman brought me my food. "Thanks," I said. "This is a nice pub. It's my first time in Oxford, and I wanted to eat somewhere that wasn't a pizzeria." The barman looked surprised.
"You mean you're not a student?"
"No, I'm just visiting," I replied. The barman finally smiled.
"Sorry, mate," he said. "We thought that you were a student from the university."
"I don't understand," I said.
"Townspeople and university students haven't got on well with each other for more than 600 years, the barman explained.
He told me that the problem began with the Scholastica massacre in 1355.
"A fight began between two drunken students and a tavern owner," he said. "Most of the townspeople and students soon joined in the fight, and hundreds of people were killed. Since then, relations between the townspeople and the students haven't been very good."
"Really?" I replied. "I usually like tradition, but it seems a pity to have a 600-year-old tradition based on bad relations between two groups of people, doesn't it?" On my way back to Lisa's flat, I passed a sign marking the place where the original tavern of the massacre had been situated. But when I got to Lisa's flat, I didn't have much time to think any more about the Scholastica massacre. We had to get ready for one of Oxford's more pleasant traditions, the May Ball and May Morning. This medieval tradition celebrates the arrival of spring. The May Balls are very elegant dances where the men wear dinner suits, called black tie, and the women wear formal dresses. I really enjoyed the ball. There was plenty of good food and champagne, and I spent most of the night dancing with lots of different people. By 4 a.m., I was tired. I went and found Lisa, who was talking to some of her friends. "I'm a little tired," I said. "How do you feel? Do you want to go home soon?"
"I'm quite tired too," she answered. "But we've got to stay until the ball ends. We have to see the sunrise."
"Why?"
"Because it's tradition, silly," she replied.
Just before sunrise, the ball ended and everyone walked together to Magdalen Bridge. A large crowd of people was already there. At 6 a.m., a boys' choir appeared at the top of the college tower and began to sing madrigals to the people standing on the bridge. It was one of those moments that you never forget for the rest of your life. The beautiful singing of the choir complemented the beautiful sunrise that we saw. It was magical. The sun, big and red, was rising on the horizon and illuminating the sky with a wide variety of colors: yellow, orange, red, blue, violet. Suddenly, a couple of people from the ball jumped from the bridge into the river.
"Are they mad?" I asked. "They're jumping into the river in their expensive clothes."
"No, they're not mad," Lisa answered. "That's the tradition. Come on." She smiled at me and jumped into the river. I didn't hesitate and jumped in after her. Within minutes, most of the people who had been on the bridge were in the river. Everyone was laughing, screaming and singing.
"Do you want a drink?"
I heard someone next to me say. I turned round in the water and saw a young man in a dinner suit offering me a bottle of champagne.
"You didn't jump off the bridge with that bottle, did you?" I asked. "You must be crazy. Champagne's very expensive."
"Of course I did," he replied. "It only happens once a year. Do you want a drink?"
I laughed and took the bottle. Then I saw that there were a lot of people in the river with bottles of champagne in their hands. British people never stop surprising me. Afterwards, everyone changed into dry clothes and went into the city centre. All the restaurants and pubs are given special permission to open early on that day. There were many acrobats performing in the street, and Oxford was one big carnival. I finally went to sleep at 1 p.m. Lisa and I separated soon after my visit to Oxford. However, the best memories of my relationship with her are the ones that I have from my visit to this lovely old town.